Warning, this episode contains graphic descriptions of torture, horrifying medical experiments, and the dissection of human remains. If any of this content will invoke a mental health crisis for you, please do not listen to it. Stay safe, friends. Welcome to Penance in Purgatory. I'm Abigail.
And I'm Wesley.
And this is the podcast where you can't tell whether we're in hell or not.
Recently, that dial seems to have been leaning towards actually in hell.
Yeah. People are going crazy.
Yeah. We have to deal with two different types of crazy people.
Yes, we do. You deal with Karens.
Yes. I had some lady yell at me in the drive-thru earlier because her order wasn't ready the second she got up to the window.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Come on. That's absurd. Anyways.
How are you?
I am tired. How are you?
I don't know how I'm feeling right now. I went to go take a nap yesterday. And I accidentally slept for 10 hours.
Good job.
Have you ever done anything like that?
No.
Yeah, because you're like my roommate. You're both bad at sleeping.
Yeah. Sleeping for even 2 hours without interruption is a task and a half. Okay.
Yeah, I could see how it would be like that for you. Meanwhile, I think I might sleep a little too much.
Meh.
Meh? Just meh?
Meh.
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 What's your question for today?
So, what is the weirdest thing you've seen in somebody else's house?
That's a hard one.
Not my parents' house.
That's a hard one.
Okay, in my parents' house and not in my parents' house.
I kind of hate how you don't give me these questions ahead of time.
Well, that would take all the fun out of it.
But then I would actually have a coherent answer.
You act like coherency is a thing in this podcast.
I'd like to think it is sometimes.
Sometimes?
Yes.
If you ever thought that I do not give Abigail, or that I do give her these questions beforehand, I do not.
I was house-sitting for someone that you don't know. And I was looking for some food item in one of their kitchen cabinets or whatever. I think it was, like, salt or something. And so I opened one of them, and it's, like, one of those cabinets that goes from the floor to, like, almost the ceiling.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it's, like, taller than I am, and it's about a foot and a half wide. So it's got a bunch of room, and inside of it, completely full, is just full of different vitamins. Like, there must have been hundreds in there.
Like, was the entire cabinet filled with these?
Yeah.
And some of you're like, what the fuck?
And they had a list on the cabinet door of all the ones they needed to take at what time.
Were they old? Or, like, older?
No, they were middle-aged.
Oh. Tell me, do they also have essential oils in the house?
Probably.
Okay, what's the weirdest thing you've seen inside of my parents' house?
You.
Alright. I see how it is. Rude.
You're a strange being.
Not the seven cats?
The seven cats is fairly normal compared to you.
I feel like I've toned it down the last couple of years.
Yeah, and you're still a whack job.
I don't go running around the church just screaming like a banshee anymore.
Thank fucking God.
I look back at that and I question my life choices.
I also question your life choices.
It's just the trauma, it's fine.
Instead of so maybe it's Maybelline, maybe it's trauma.
I saw this meme one time. It was of this horse, just a majestic looking horse, that maybe she's barn with it, maybe it's a Maybelline.
Yeah, I've seen that too. All right, what ridiculous topic are you covering today?
It's not that ridiculous. You're just gonna hate it, like you do with most of my stories.
Great.
So, it involves stalking. A fair amount of stalking.
Oh, God.
Some kidnapping.
Is this gonna be one of the ones that makes me really angry?
Probably. Not as angry as last episode. But there is some light stalking and some kidnapping.
Okay.
So this is the story of Persephone and Hades.
Oh, okay.
It's mythology. You're not going to get nearly as angry as something that actually happened.
Yep.
So Persephone was the daughter of Zeus and Demeter. She was the goddess of fertility, vegetation, and grain. So Demeter was, like, weirdly obsessed with her and kept all men away from her. And apparently one of her most persistent suitors was Hades. Also, have you heard this story before?
What?
Have you heard this story before?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say that Hades believed that she was hot as hell.
Shut the fuck up, Abigail. I hated that.
Me too.
Oh, gosh. That was Abigail. You're turning into Corwin.
No.
So Abigail's partner likes to tell all of the puns.
Like, an absurd amount of puns.
Yeah. And he doesn't listen to this. He only listens to Abigail's half when he's home.
Yeah.
So Hades was the god of the underworld, and he's generally described as a middle-aged man living in the dark.
Great. Great start. I'm picturing a guy with a neck beard and some Cheeto stains.
Neck beard and Cheeto stains. Where did the term neck beard, when was it first used to describe a person?
I don't know.
You're such a neck beard, Abigail.
Anyways.
So he was amazed by Persephone's, quote, youth, beauty, and freshness. Which I don't understand what freshness means, and I don't think I want to.
My best guess is Hades is constantly surrounded by rotting corpses. And she's not.
I mean, you kind of are. Sometimes.
Is this, like, a me-specifically statement, or a...
Yes, you specifically.
Oh, okay.
I mean, well, literally the second someone dies, their body just immediately starts eating itself.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, he went to go... So, he has to meet her for his daughter's hand in marriage, as you do. And she got pissed and said there wasn't the slightest chance of that going to happen. Or you could say that there was no way in hell
that was going to happen. I was about to make that joke. We both suck.
If you're still listening to us, thank you.
I don't know why, but thank you. We appreciate it.
So he was apparently heartbroken and decided that he was going to get her no matter what. Hot damn.
We're just atrocious today.
So one time at work, I got told that I was using the word atrocious too much and it was upsetting people.
Anyways.
So one day she was out playing and picking flowers with her friends in a valley. So she saw the most enchanting flower that she had ever seen. So she went down to pick it up. And suddenly the earth beneath her feet suddenly opened up, and Hades apparently came out with a whole ass chariot and black horses.
Did he wreck the flower in the process?
The story doesn't say.
Okay.
So he grabbed her, and before she could even scream for help, they were back down into the underworld. So...
Don't kidnap women.
But apparently it happened so quickly that her friends didn't see or hear anything. And so they had no idea what the fresh fuck just happened to her.
She just, like, vanished?
Yeah, basically. It's like those missing 411 cases.
Yeah.
Also, if you've never heard of missing 411, we can post a link to that in the sources a video in the sources page. Because I know that Abigail finds them fascinating.
I intend to cover them at some point.
Oh, I didn't want to out you like that, so that's fine.
But I just haven't gotten there yet, mainly because I've been planning the series we start today.
Oh, we're starting a series today?
We are starting a series today.
See, we don't really tell each other. We don't tell anything about our stories. As you can tell by the first episode of The Crusades, where Abigail's like, "You didn't tell me you're starting this, and I'm upset."
I was not emotionally prepared.
Well, you're prepared for the next 2 weeks, then the break, and then the one after that.
Yeah, so the series that I'm starting is probably gonna be 6 episodes, but it might turn out to be 7.
So I don't have the patience to do a lot of series, apparently.
You don't.
I don't. So, the whole kidnapping was witnessed by Zeus, who is her father and the brother of Hades, as well as Helios, who's the god of the sun. So Zeus decided to stay silent about the whole thing to prevent a fight. And Helios thought that it was better to not get involved in things that did not concern him.
What? Your daughter gets kidnapped and you're like, eh.
I mean, it's by his brother. I mean, no, don't.
I don't want to get involved.
Don't be a bystander in a kidnapping.
Yes.
The fact that we have to say that.
See, but the sad thing is it doesn't only happen in mythology.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Demeter, like, lost her absolute mind from this. So, she was very distraught and heartbroken and wandered the earth looking for her daughter. And she stumbled upon her friend Hecate, who is the goddess of the wilderness and childbirth. And advised her to seek help from Helios, who is sometimes referred to as the all-seeing sun god, in order to help find her daughter. So she goes, talks to him, and he feels sorry for her, who is crying and pleading with him to help her. And so he, you know, tells her all that fun jazz. And so she got pissed and wanted to take revenge, but Helios suggested that it was not such a bad thing for Persephone to be the wife of Hades and Queen of the Dead.
What?
So, she was like, yeah, no, I'm gonna do whatever I want. So...
Get him, bitch.
So, she was furious, and believed that Hades, who had only dead people for company, was not the right husband for her sweet daughter. And so she also, understandably, got pissed at Zeus for not telling her.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a form of punishment, specifically to the gods, she decided to take a long and indefinite break from her duties as goddess of harvest and fertility.
Nice. So
apparently both her and her daughter are that. And so, because of this, the earth began to dry up, harvests failed, fruits, basically, the world was plunged into famine. And animals were dying from lack of food and dehydration, resulting in untold misery.
I mean, that's probably not the best way to go about it, but I get why you did it.
And only once the suffering of the people had reached Olympus and Zeus, Mount Olympus and Zeus, he finally realized that if he didn't do something, that all of humanity would die. So this is finally when he decides to step in.
And he would run out of humanity... bitches to have.
What was that?
He would run out of bitches to have.
Yeah.
Because the only thing Zeus ever actually cares about is his dick. Zeus is just a
fuckboy. Yes. I could do a whole episode on Zeus. Maybe I'll do that for episode 69.
You should do a whole episode on Zeus's dick.
Look, that'd be so short, there'd be nothing there.
Anyways.
So, I like how all I got from that joke was a chuckle. Come on, Abigail.
What more did you expect out of life?
So yeah, Zeus realized that he finally needed to intervene, otherwise everyone was going to die. So, he tried to find a solution that would not just... That would calm both of them. So, he promised Demeter to restore Persephone restore to how she was, if it can be proven that she stays with Hades against her will. Otherwise, she would stay down there forever.
Oh, so we're victim blaming now. Great.
Yeah. Okay, almost, I feel like a lot of mythological stories I've told you have to do with victim blaming.
Yes. Yes, they do.
So, Hades learns of this, and so he gives to Persephone, who was basically, like, non-stop crying since she getting there. So he gave her what's referred to as a fruit of the underworld, or pomegranates. He gave her a few seeds of that. And apparently whenever somebody eats seeds of a pomegranate in the underworld, they, for whatever, become, like, attached and long for the underworld. So he basically, he kind of roofies her.
So he's basically just, like, trying to convince his wife that she's there by drugging her.
No, basically he makes it so she'll... Basically gives her a magic potion that'll make her enjoy being there.
Great.
So she eats a couple pomegranate seeds, and, so then after a while, they get up and have their giant gathering in front of Zeus. And asks her where she'd want to live, and she said, live with her husband. And Demeter, like, nah, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
And so Demeter and Hades started fighting, and she threatened that she would never again make the earth fertile and everyone on earth would die.
Wouldn't Hades benefit from that?
But then if everybody dies, then there would be no more fresh souls.
Yeah, that's true.
To torment, I guess.
Good short term, bad long term for Hades.
Yeah. So, Zeus decides that Persephone would spend two-thirds of the year with her mother and one-third of the year with Hades. And that was the only option that either of them would accept. And that is why we have winter.
Got it. Because she wrecks shit when her daughter's not with her.
Yes, she's like an overly protective helicopter parent.
I mean, can you blame her? Her daughter got kidnapped, and then her husband...
No, Hera is Zeus's wife. She's just a side hoe.
Her boyfriend, then, was like, I don't care about your daughter.
His child, too.
Yep.
Yeah, no, Zeus is a terrible, terrible thing.
Yes, he is.
So that is all I have for you. It was fairly short.
Yeah. That's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Are you doing a 6-part series on QAnon?
No.
Oh, thank God.
Did you not hear the trigger warning?
I did, but I don't remember what it was.
Okay.
Normally we record those after the episode, but Abigail decided to do it beforehand.
Yes. Because I already had it written. I
don't remember. Oh, okay.
And now it's time for everyone's favorite segment.
Spooky fun fact.
So today's spooky fun fact is that fatal familial insomnia is a condition which progressively destroys the brain's ability to sleep. Eventually, the person stops sleeping altogether until they go insane, have seizures, and die. There is currently no cure.
Yeah, doesn't that affect, like, 6 families, I think?
Yes.
Was it 6? It's 6-ish.
It's a smaller number, yes, but the number is also growing.
Yeah.
And it's fucking terrifying.
No, you just have basic bitch insomnia.
Yeah, I know. Which, when compared to this, I'm good with. I will take my basic bitch insomnia. Anyway, that has been today's spooky fun fact. Alright, are you ready to find out what this 6/potentially 7 episode series is going to be about?
No.
Why not?
I'm scared.
Why are you not excited?
I'm scared.
Depression. So, welcome. We are finally going to begin a series which I have been planning since the very beginning of this podcast.
Have you told me about this?
Probably. It has a large scope with a lot of different content, and it's likely going to be bigger than the Big Brother series.
Oh dear.
So we are going to discuss the CIA projects, which focused on mind control, manipulation of behaviors, and the psychic world.
Are we starting out with MKUltra?
No.
Okay.
So, all of that sounds like something out of a sci-fi or dystopian novel or movie, but I promise that it's all real. So, as per usual, with topics like this, we're gonna start with some definitions.
Oh, yay. Do we have a game for me this time or no?
Just you trying to define stuff.
Okay, so there is a game.
Yes. So, the first word that needs to be defined, or I'm not going to say unpacked.
No, Abigail hates that term.
Is what the CIA is. Can you give me a brief description of what the CIA is?
Crap. I'm now blanking on what CIA even stands for.
So,
Central Intelligence Agency. There we go.
Yes. Do you know what its purpose is?
That's a loaded question.
It's literally in the name.
Yeah, well, I know shit, Sherlock. But, like, I don't know how to describe the CIA aside from sketchy as fuck.
They are sketchy as fuck. So the CIA, or Central Intelligence Agency, is an agency which was founded in 1947 by President Truman. Because World War II showed clear cracks in different agencies' abilities to communicate between themselves and each other, the CIA pulled many different agencies into one so they could communicate better with the other agencies that still existed. So its scope is primarily based on intelligence of other countries and to some degree American citizens as well. Its main objective is to gather intelligence and use it to influence the enforcement of law, essentially.
They're sketchy as fuck.
They are sketchy as fuck. Alright, next definition. Can you define what a thought is?
What kind of thought are we talking about?
GHT.
Okay, not THOT.
No.
Like how people think.
Okay. So, Merriam-Webster defines a thought to be something such as an opinion or belief in the mind. I kind of think that's a
You're
bit
a thought.
Abstract for a useful definition, so let's try to narrow it down somewhat. A thought is a product of the mind of a sentient being which exists in that being's conscious mind only until it is spoken or expressed in another manner. It exists, but not to anyone else until it is expressed to the world. thoughts are not factual information and not even necessarily built out of words. Some people think information in, like, images or sounds rather than actual sentences. All right, behavior. Can you define what a behavior is?
How people act.
Okay.
So I feel like that's a pretty good definition.
Yes.
Considering I have zero context as to what you're going for.
So the one I wrote is that behavior is the actions people do based on their thoughts, instincts, or emotions.
Super specific.
In the psych world, behaviors is also a term to describe specifically negative behaviors. Manipulation. Can you define manipulation?
Oh, gosh. In one way or another, having somebody do or believe or think a certain way that you want them to.
Okay. So the Cambridge Dictionary says manipulation means controlling someone or something to your advantage, often unfairly or dishonestly. Which I think fits pretty well. There are obviously other definitions, but this is the one that is actually within the context that we discuss. And the last is less of a definition and more of a concept that I want you to try and explain, which is what is morality in terms of medical practice?
What do you mean by in terms of medical practice?
So, like, what rules and guidelines should you follow in the medical field to be moral?
In the medical field specifically?
Yes.
Well, there's the Hippocratic Oath, which is do no harm. But I feel like sometimes in the medical field you need to do at least a little bit of, sometimes, very rare circumstances, do a little bit of harm to get a lot of good from it.
Yes. Yeah, you pretty much hit everything I wanted to mention. The only thing is, all medical professionals have an obligation to care about the patient first.
Yes.
All right, so now that we've finished the torturing Wesley part, we are going to get to the topic. This episode starts before the CIA even began their horrifying experiments. We're going to start with the thing that influenced them to start. Do you know what it is?
Going off what you said, World War II and the inability to communicate?
Nazi Germany.
World War II.
So many of the CIA projects were influenced by fear that, in their different horrifying experiments, the Nazis had discovered a way to manipulate American soldiers to do their bidding. Nazi scientists did extensive experimentation to understand the effects of specific conditions on human mental and physical health.
Oh yeah, those are wildly unethical, and
yeah,
because of the papers and whatnot that the Nazi scientists wrote about them, they're actually so commonly used today in research, because no, you can't ethically recreate that kind of circumstances.
No, you can't. So we're going to discuss some of the specific experiments that were done.
Oh, gosh.
Are you ready for this?
There's one person I'm thinking of that I hope you don't talk about.
We'll see. Okay. So the first one was experiments with high altitude. Sadus Sigmund Rascher was one of the many doctors who orchestrated the horrifying experiments done on the victims of concentration camps. Rascher and his colleagues would place victims in a pressure chamber and turn up the pressure till it mimicked what high altitude, once ejected from a plane, would feel like. The victims would suffer in agony until they finally passed out. This eventually showed that oxygen bubbles being trapped in the brain was the reason that people died from really high altitude.
Oh yeah, because that's like, what happens with divers, they ascend too fast.
The bends.
Yeah, decompression sickness.
Yeah. And it's when they ascend, not descend.
Yeah, I said ascend.
Okay, Just checking. Yes.
I mean, you can descend however fast you want and be fine.
Yes.
As long as it's not too deep, otherwise you'll die. Or if you go below a certain depth, I don't remember what it is, you need like a special gas mixture.
Yes.
Instead of just like regular surface air.
However, otherwise, with diving, nitrogen gas is what gets trapped in your brain. At high altitudes, it's just oxygen.
Oh, okay.
So, to prove this, Brasher would dissect the victims' brains to find these bubbles while they were still alive.
Ah! I've never heard of this guy before. This is not the guy that I was thinking of.
He features a lot, so... Victims obviously suffered extensively because of this, and those that managed to survive were likely experimented on again and again before being executed.
Okay.
Yikes. This next part is the one that, like, physically hurt me to write.
Oh no. Oh no.
And that is their experimentation on the effects of hypothermia.
Oh, no.
So, Rasher again, because this man is an actual demon, was behind these experiments, too.
Of course he was.
So, victims were submerged in ice water, either naked or in pilot uniforms, and forced to remain there for long periods of time. This could last anywhere from a few moments to 3 hours.
Oh, no.
The sadists would watch as victims would scream, writhe, foam at the mouth, etc., while measuring things like their heart rate and blood pressure. After this was over, the next experiment was how to warm these people back up, if they were still alive. Are you ready?
No.
Some were literally thrown into boiling water.
That's how you go into shock.
Some were covered in hot packs, and some would be forced to have sex with women in an attempt to warm them up.
What?
Yeah. Like, this clearly wasn't done in the name of science. This was just done by sexual sadists.
Yeah.
Many victims obviously died as a result. Some suffered this torture multiple times before they were executed.
Oh no.
The next one is sulfonamide. The experiments were to test whether the chemical could be used to treat battle wounds with gangrene. So victims would be wounded intentionally by doctors, and then bacteria and disease would be injected into the wounds.
Yeah, that's wildly unethical.
The doctors would then rub things like ground up glass or wood chips into the wounds.
What?
And tie off any nearby blood vessels to the limb.
What?
Because this was supposed to mimic the effects of, like, if you were shot in the field. So, like, along with the initial shot, there would also be shrapnel and stuff like that. It's still fucking awful. The drugs that were used in the experiments are actually used today to treat bacterial infection, but victims would still often die as a result of these wounds, infection, or constant agony. Those that didn't die were permanently disfigured and experimented on multiple times before being executed. Another thing they liked to work on was their study of finding the strongest or purest bloodlines. And so they found a bunch of twins. They would then inject those twins with chloroform to see what was different between if, like, one of them lived and one of them died, what was so different between the one who lived and the one who died. Most of them did die because chloroform, but a couple still survived.
What was the name of the guy doing this one?
There wasn't a specific one person.
I think I know who that probably was.
Okay.
And that's the guy that I don't want you to talk about.
Okay. Those who did survive would often be further experimented on and even dissected while alive to see if anything was inherently different.
I'm just out of things to say.
Yep. Another is their testing of how poison worked. This is honestly one of the more moral experiments performed, but it's still horrifying. Victims would be injected with toxic chemicals to see which ones died and which ones lived. Those who did live would often be further... They would actually just be injected with more poison to die, so they could instantly be autopsied afterwards. So they didn't have to live through multiple experiment rounds. Another experiment done was that victims would be injected with tuberculosis to determine which medicines could be used to treat it. Many of the victims did die from it, and to hide this experiment from the approaching Alliance forces, Nazi scientists ordered that 20 children would be hung, so they couldn't tell the approaching people.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. 20 children.
So I want to scream almost as much as I did in the Jeffrey Epstein episode.
Yep.
I feel like I should be screaming more, but I just feel resigned at this point.
Yeah. The next one is one of the more frightening to me.
Oh no.
And that's that they were working on muscle, bone, and nerve transplantation. So, scientists in this situation wanted to know if limbs of another victim could be transplanted onto someone who had lost the same limb.
So they actively cut them off of one person and put them on another person?
Yes. So, like, two people would both have the same arm cut off, and then they would try to put the other victim's arm on.
See, if one person had died and the other person just lost their arm in an accident, that wouldn't be that bad.
Nope.
You could try it that way. But this is terrible.
They were both alive.
Insert more screaming here.
And they were not given anesthesia when the limb was removed.
Of course they weren't.
Or like any painkillers ever. None of the people these experiments were given any anesthesia or anything like that.
At least the adrenaline would help. That's all I can say.
Obviously most people died from blood loss. A lot of them also died because their limb was transplanted with a limb of someone with a different blood type.
Yep.
Here's one that really fucked me up.
Oh no.
They were working on experimentation with brain injuries.
If you're about to tell me that they intentionally inflicted brain injuries, Abby, I'm quitting this podcast.
Start writing your resignation letter.
All right.
So doctors, in a horrifying attempt to understand traumatic brain injuries, would inflict head wounds onto their victims. In one instance, a small boy was strapped to a table as a machine above him drove a hammer into his skull every 3 seconds, over and over again.
I quit.
He was driven insane from the constant agony, obviously. So another thing that they did was experimentation with trying to cure mustard gas. Victims were deliberately exposed to that gas, which isn't actually a gas. It's a mustard-like consistency. And toxins were also injected so they could learn how to treat them. Mustard gas forms painful blisters on the skin and in internal organs as well, which will inevitably pop. And gross. No amount of treatment was given to the victims to make the pain better, and most of them died.
See, this is what I don't understand about Holocaust deniers. This shit was fucked up, and some people believe that this never happened.
Yeah. Another horrifying one is their experimentation with seawater.
Oh no.
So victims were, for long periods of time, only given somewhat filtered seawater to drink. So the doctors could try and figure out how to properly filter seawater into drinkable water, I guess.
What, didn't they already know how to do that by then?
No. We still don't know how to do it in large quantities.
Okay, then.
So, some victims would also be given no food for months on end. Some of them were so dehydrated that they would try to lick water off of the mops to have any source of actual water to drink.
Gross.
It was torture and entirely senseless. We're almost done.
We better be.
Evil man Carl Clauberg worked on experiments to determine the fastest and easiest way to sterilize those they felt were of a weaker bloodline or who had diseases which could be genetic. He first tried injecting chemicals into women's cervixes to block their fallopian tubes, which is where the egg exits the ovaries and then goes down. So this would obviously lead to very dangerous issues, including severe cervical cancer. But Clauberg decided that this wasn't easy or fast enough, and so he came to the conclusion that radiation would be a better choice.
What?
Thousands of victims were sterilized against their will. Blood coagulation. Douchebag again, Rasher, fuck you, wanted to test whether his creation, a drug called Polygol, could be used to prevent someone from bleeding out too quickly after being shot. The drug did provoke blood clotting, but did not do it quickly enough to save people from severe gunshot wounds, obviously. So, victims would be given the drug, and then they would be shot. They would bleed out as the doctors would watch them die. And Rasher even wrote a paper on the drug for a medical journal, which actually got published, and did not disclose the nature of the human experimentation he did.
Yeah, because they had to make it look like that they were not terrible people to the German citizens.
Yeah. And the last one we're going to talk about is electroshock therapy. So electroshock therapy today, also called ECT, is a therapy which can be used to treat major mental illnesses by targeting specific areas of the brain with minor shocks from electricity. It is done very cautiously in medical practices today. With the Nazis, though, that caution did not exist.
It is the Oprah shock therapy.
So they would use it on victims randomly for little to no reason, and it would just be to torture their victims. Many of them would just lose brain function and become permanent vegetative state, stuff like that. For literally no actually good reason. So we're finally done with that.
Thank the Lord.
Experiments I listed aren't the only ones that occurred, by a large degree. I primarily spoke about them for two reasons. Number one it did actually affect what experiments the CIA did, especially since the CIA actually hired some of the doctors from these Nazi concentration camps to come work for the CIA. And the second is that we think of the Holocaust as one of the most horrifying things in human history. And it is. But it can act as a benchmark. Many of the experiments done by the CIA seems to follow the same thinking as the Nazi experiments. And it's truly horrifying. Next episode, we will discuss some of the experiments which would eventually lead to MKUltra, and then after that we will discuss MKUltra itself in one or two episodes, because I'm still not sure whether it's going to be one or two episodes. But thank the Lord, we are done with the Nazi experiments.
So the person that I didn't want you to talk about was Joseph Mengele.
I intentionally did not, but you can you can talk about him anyway.
No.
He was particularly cruel.
Yeah. That's what I was like, I pray to God you do not talk about him.
Yeah. Yeah. I figured I didn't need to bring his atrocities into this to make it very clear how bad it was.
You made it pretty clear.
Okay. Alright, if you would like to tell us how much you fucking hate this podcast because it ruins your belief in humanity, you can contact us on the social medias.
At Pen in Purgatory on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
If you would like to email us any spooky stories, true or fictional, for a future episode.
Or if you just want to say hi, you can email us at penanceandpurgatory@gmail.com, and the link to all those will be down in the description.
Rate us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Or Facebook. Or no, Facebook. You can't rate people on Spotify.
Not Spotify. Rate us on Apple Podcasts or Facebook if you're a boomer. It helps us to have feedback.
And I believe that's all we have for you. Till next time.
Stay safe.
Please be nice to everyone else.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Bye.
Bye.